You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 425. Today is Tuesday, November 27th, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And folks, before we start, help out the podcast by subscribing or writing a review. If you don't, I will start the next show by singing Do They Know It's Christmas? And I'm just going to scream Bono's part over and over, because that's my favorite part. All right.
Yeah. I have a lot of jokes there, but I'm going to let it go. It's too early to go down that path. But
all right. So, guys, in tonight's show, the hot stove gets lit by Alex Anthopoulos, and we discuss the Josh Donaldson and Brian McCann moves. But first, a quick break. So, guys, it all went down so quickly on Monday. I saw the Brian McCann news on Twitter. Soon after that, I saw the Steve Phillips tweet about the Braves being close on Josh Donaldson. And then it was like 15 minutes later and it was done.
Yep.
So on a Monday, a week ahead of the winter meetings, the Braves now have a real live cleanup hitter on the roster and are done with the with looking for a catcher. So, Ham, let's start with Josh Donaldson. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so it did. I mean, it came out of nowhere, and I think my initial reaction was tempered a little bit because I wasn't ready for it. I mean, I was a little skeptical, I have to say. I was, you know, first thoughts, and I'm sure a lot of people had these thoughts. He's an injury risk. Do we even need a third baseman? That wasn't even one of our big holes. In fact, Anthopoulos had come out, and DOB was on a chat on The Athletic, and he said, you know, Anthopoulos has said repeatedly, and I mean repeatedly, we're not looking for a third baseman. So there was that. You know, I didn't know what I was expecting, but his name was not on my radar. So at first I was skeptical, but having sat with it for a while, I love this deal. I love this deal.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it truly is – there's a lot to love. And we can talk about the money. You know, right now – and you can find this stat in a couple different ways online. But a consistent one is for 1 point of war is on average about $9 million in salary, right? So let's say that he just gives us a 3 war, which I think if he played 100 games even – and was not himself, was just, you know, his sort of career average or below average, he still gives us a 3 war. I bet he's going to give us much higher. So we're getting $27 million in value for $23 million for a 1 year deal. So we're not committed to something, you know, and he's 33, and you see how over time he's going to start to decline. But also, he's a veteran. He's a stabilizing voice in the clubhouse. He's a motivated veteran who's playing probably for his last big contract.
Right, he's betting on himself here.
Betting on himself.
Make no mistake,
yeah.
He's betting on himself.
He's betting on himself. And he, you know, he and Anthopoulos have a relationship. He believes he's healthy. And so he's playing for his sort of de facto hometown team coming from Alabama. It's a contending team. It's an exciting team. Right now, I'd say we're the favorites to win the East again. So it's a great deal, and it protects Freddie with the right-handed bat. You know, we had that for a tiniest bit when Kemp was doing well before he started eating all the donuts and then went to Los Angeles. I don't know what the downside is. The downside of this is that we have the same team that we had last year that won the NL East, right? Camargo's at third. If Donaldson plays 15 games, injures his calf, never plays, we have Camargo. So I love this deal.
Yeah. Curtis, how about you?
You know, it obviously they were looking to bolster the offense, and they can use Camargo as a super utility guy. I mean, they've already kind of come out and said that they want to give guys more time off. They felt like that was sort of a contributing factor to the second half offensive decline. So he can play. Obviously, the three infield positions, and they're talking about potentially playing first to give Freddie some days off, potentially playing some outfield and playing as, you know, starting as many as 130 games for the team next year. So it makes the bench infinitely better because the bench we talked about a lot last year, how terrible it was. And, you know, I mean, if the Braves had signed Bryce Harper for $30 or $40 million, I don't I'm not sure that people would sort of be having the same reaction that they're having to signing Donaldson for $23 million. But like, if you look at their numbers since 2015, they're very similar. Donaldson, 281, 383, 548, 931 OPS, 119 homers, 323 RBI, 148 OPS plus, and 478 games. I mean, obviously he dropped off last year and a little before the year before, but he was hurt the whole time. Harper's 283, 410, 543, 942 OPS, 129 homers, so not that many more, 372 RBIs, and a 150 OPS plus, and 570 games, so 100 more games. And the production is not that much more dramatic, but people wouldn't have a problem if this was Harper. So the guy can still play. I mean, he won the MVP, and they think that all these issues that he's had were based on these injuries, and that if he overcomes them, you know, that he can return to a force that he's been. And he's from the South, and he's a huge Braves fan. Yeah. So,
and he did it in Cleveland. He was healthy at the end of the year.
Too. Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the things, Ham, you're absolutely right. That's one of the things that got them so committed to him is watching him in Cleveland at the end of the year. He didn't have a good postseason, but the end of the year for Cleveland was very good, and that's what got them excited about it. So, yeah, I think it's a great move.
And yeah, in those 16 games in Cleveland, Ham, sorry to interrupt you, he slashed right. 280, 400, 520. He had a 149 WRC plus. I mean, it's pretty easy to believe that that's still healthy Donaldson.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Last thing I was going to add, we still have all our pieces.
Right.
We've given up nothing to fill the McCann catcher spot, which we'll obviously talk about in a second, and to add this huge offensive piece, which was one of the big problems they needed to address. I mean, I know it's not the outfielder that we thought, but it's so exciting to have a player of this caliber be joining this team and be so jacked up about it too.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real deal. I mean, this is a superstar guy. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, Ham, what were you going to say?
No, well, I was going to say I'm excited that we were sort of first movers. You said we lit the hot stove, or the hot stove is lit by us. Like, that's exciting, too. And I guess the Paxton move to the Yankees was one.
Is way sexier.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, there's a lot of people out there who's like, well, Camargo, you know, I think people are oversold on Camargo a little bit, right? I mean, he played over his head last year, certainly in the second half, had an abysmal playoffs. He is not Josh Donaldson. I mean, it's just no two ways about it.
Right. And it just it's not only a move to bolster the offense, but Kurt, you said it bolsters the bench dramatically. And he's Camargo becomes like this massive insurance policy, not just for Donaldson if he gets injured, but for Dansby if he doesn't turn it around, or for Ozzy if he doesn't turn it around. I mean, he is, you know, he is the today on Twitter's just a lot of, you know, he's our Marwin Gonzalez, but it's true. I mean, he is just this huge insurance policy all over the field. It really in some ways was two moves in one.
Yeah. And Marwin Gonzalez, Curtis, like you said, he started over 100 games for the Astros last year with no real position. Right, just backing people up, filling spots. Camargo has that potential.
And we've also seen with Camargo that it serves him to be playing. Sometimes, you know, when he slumps more, it's when he's a bench player. But when he's out there every single day, that's when his production is at its greatest value. And so having this opportunity to rest guys and have them to be replaced with a player, the quality of Camargo is, you know, I mean, that's team altering.
Yeah.
And we still have Adam Duvall.
And Donaldson is not just a bat. He's an above average defender. So we get that piece. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fans can't contain it.
That's right.
Our studio audience.
It's really been nice starting to record in front of a studio audience, don't you think?
It really is.
It's sort of annoying that they talk when we're talking, but who cares?
The best part will be when the dog starts barking because the people are yelling.
Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah. I forgot to put the red flashing light outside the door here. On air.
So, guys, what do you think about the rest of the infield? I mean, we got some answers today. when Anthopoulos talked about, look, we're playing Camargo all over the infield. We want to give these guys breaks. Kurt, you mentioned the big fall off in the second half. I mean, it was precipitous, not just Markakis, but it was Freeman. It was Ozzie. I mean, these guys need days off. Do you see anything else changing? Do you see that, you know, do you see Dansby getting traded? Do you see some Ozzie at short? Do you guys think it creates any other shuffling?
No.
The only thing I could think I would see is potentially if Dansby gets really in a bad offensive rut that Camargo becomes the starting shortstop.
Maybe, but I don't see, I heard your question is, you know, in the offseason, right? Like, is this our infield going into the 2019 season? And I think it is. I think our starting outfield is Dansby, Ozzie, I'm going to say all their names at the same time, Dansby, Ozzie, Josh, and Freddie, with Camargo as our super utility guy. You know, and the only other thing that's going to change in the season is hopefully Riley is here soon, you know, and he's yet another person who can give us more flexibility.
Well, Riley being ready, right? Riley cutting down his strikeouts and AAA and all that, it makes 2020 a much easier decision, you know, regardless of how well Donaldson does.
Right.
I totally agree. I like that you're so comfortable with him already, Ham. You're calling him Josh.
Yes.
JD is coming.
But we'll go with Josh.
Donnie? Does he have a nickname?
I mean, do you think, and this is way off in the distance, if he has like a return to form season that the Braves would like consider re-signing him themselves? I mean,
well, they've got to consider it or, you know, they make him a qualifying offer or, you know, I mean, him returning to form will certainly give them things to think about, and it will depend on how Riley looks. You know, I mean, that's going to be a big part of it.
Right. But you do, there was a chart in Fangraphs saying, you know, 33 is when you really start to see the decline in the number of players with a 2+ war in the major leagues, and it goes down pretty quickly. So, I don't know. I mean, he's probably going to get 3 years. If he does well, he'll get 3 years, 75 maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I love that deal.
Yeah, hard to say without seeing what he does this year, but I hear you. I mean, what, it'd be 34, 35, 36 seasons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ish.
No. Yeah, exactly.
But they were saying his bat speed is still there. I mean, that's what I was reading today. That was not a concern. They think it's just these injuries that sort of piled up on him.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm willing to believe that getting off of the turf in Toronto can only help him, right? On the other hand, he has strained his right calf muscle. He's strained his left calf muscle. I mean, he's got some issues with his legs. So you hope that the breaks that he can get from Camargo and playing on a natural surface really helps him. I mean, you know, maybe don't play, you know, maybe make sure that Camargo plays more than not when they're in Florida, you know, yeah, to keep them off that surface. All right, guys. So next up, the Braves reunite with Brian McCann, but first a quick break. All right. So guys, the crazy Monday started with the news that the Braves had signed Brian McCann to a 1-year deal at $2 million. And with that, the Braves had solved the other half of their catching platoon, and unbeknownst to all of us at the time, of course, had taken advantage of this discount that McCann gave the team to help pay for Donaldson and hopefully some others. So, Kurt, what are your thoughts on the McCann signing?
I love Brian McCann.
Here we go.
Start with that.
Bless his heart.
I don't feel like Brian McCann perhaps has magic that he might be able to recapture so much. I know that he was hurt. He had some knee issues last year. And even, I guess, in 2017, 241, 323, 436 with 18 homers. I mean, I wouldn't – that seems like that's a stretch that we would get that out of him. But if we can get even – 12 homers out of him. I forget what Suzuki hit last year. I can look it up real quick, but 12 homers. So, yeah, I mean, target something like that with McCann. You got the platoon righty-lefty operation going with Flowers. It seems like a very logical thing when I saw that they had re-signed Brian McCann. It seems so obvious, but it does seem like it's sort of a nostalgic reach.
Yeah, I mean, look, on the one hand, offensive, that there's a bit of hoping, although he did have knee surgery, so maybe theoretically he's, you know, healthier, right? 2018, Kurt Suzuki was, he slashed 271, 332, 444. 12 homers, like you said. Curtis, he had a 2-0 war. In 2000, that was 105 games. In 2017, Brian McCann, which is really his last healthy season, he played 97 games, 241, 323, 436. So not really that far off from Suzuki. He hit 18 homers that year and posted a 1.7 war. So if we get anything close to that, sure. Became a World Series champion. Yeah. You know, we get anything close to that, it's a great move. And the money is minuscule. Yeah. And there was, you know, I think another piece of it is clubhouse leader, great with young pitchers. My God, I don't know. Did you guys see the Lance McCullers tweets yesterday out of Houston? You know, just thanking McCann, saying he'd learned so much from him. He's a different pitcher because of him. I mean, like, he was beloved in Houston, it seems like. And that's no small thing. I mean, it's still a very young team.
It's still, right? Yeah. And it's a lot of the appeal of the of Donaldson as well, that veteran, plus a hometown hero, right? So put that on top of it. Someone who knows this system. Someone who was here, you know, the last time the Braves won a playoff series, right? I think in his last year here. So, I feel like I'm more with Curtis. I think, you know, I think if McCann wasn't the hometown hero, wasn't a former Brave, and you just sort of looked at his numbers versus Suzuki's, I take Suzuki at $5 million next year over McCann at $2 million next year. I love Brian McCann. I think the intangible stuff makes that a harder decision to make and evens it out a little bit. I don't buy the platoon thing, though. I mean, does that just mean the pitchers don't care who's catching them? I mean, I sort of thought, and maybe I don't know, but that, you know, you sort of had your catcher more often than not. And so, you know, Tehran would have, and I'm going to get this wrong, but Tehran would have Flowers and Folty would have Suzuki or something like that to get that familiarity. You know, you think back to Maddox and Barry Hill and all those types of guys, right?
Yeah, I think it would be more about the opposing pitcher and going righty-lefty.
Right, but so that then you're throwing off that, so but you can't, you know. That's a hard thing to sync up. So you're saying on one day Folty may get McCann and on the next day he may get Flowers. And is that good for the pitcher? So do you really have the ability to go righty-lefty? Maybe you do, right?
I think that will sort of play itself out in the season, right? We saw – I don't remember some of the combinations. But we saw some of the young guys thrive more with Flowers versus Suzuki and vice versa. And I think that they'll start to see that and then adjust accordingly would
right.
be my guess.
But I would hope that would be their primary thing, not, oh, we've got a righty coming up, so we're going to catch McCann, even though Folty is more comfortable with Flowers, right?
Yeah.
Because Folty's, you know, McCann's a lefty going against a righty. So, I mean, that will play out over the season. I mean, I emotionally love having McCann back. I'd rather have Real Muto, right? I'm sad. That was sort of my big hope for the offseason. It's ridiculous what the Marlins are asking for. You know, obviously, I heard today it was Ozzy and some prospects, which was interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad we did not sell half the farm for Real Muto.
No, I'm glad. That's too much to ask for. So I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved for that deal to work. It sounds like the Marlins are going to just keep him and destroy any value that they could get from him in the most Marlinsiest Marlins way ever, which is unfortunate for Real Muto. But so that was another thing. I wasn't expecting a third baseman. Got Donaldson. That's great. Was thinking we were going to get sort of a big name catcher, and it's like, oh, it's McCann. Nice. That's fine. That's fine. And it takes nothing away from how much I love him and how great he was when he was a baby Brave. All of that. So there's a lot of happiness in bringing him home. It's bittersweet, though.
I mean, I guess the thing I would add to it is the nostalgia factor that's nice for the fans, I think, is part of the equation that we could see on the field. I mean, don't you think that McCann, of any place he could have landed, will get some more rejuvenation here than anywhere else?
Sure.
Or at least the potential for it?
Sure.
I mean, Snitker was his AA manager who told him, you just got called up to the bigs. Like, that stuff's huge.
Yeah. And he lives here.
Yeah, his kids are here. His family's here. Right? Yeah.
And the salary stuff. For him to cut that kind of deal and to give us money to get Donaldson and other players is great. So there is a lot of value in what we got him for and who he is and him coming back here. For sure.
And he did throw out 32% of base runners last year to Suzuki's 19. So there is that as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's an upgrade. There's no doubt about it, because, my God, we couldn't throw anybody out last year. I mean, Flowers, I'm sure, was worse. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I bet he was worse than Suzuki. All right, so, guys, we got a big bat. We've improved the bench. Hammy, what do you think's next, or what do you want to be next?
Well, I think our dollars are hopefully going to go to arms from here on out. I bet we bring Markakis back on a 2-year deal. I bet that's how we solve the outfield thing. I don't know. I know there's other players out there, and that we.
God, I want them to sign Michael Brantley instead. He's a lefty. He's a free agent. There's money left, and then get the pitchers through trades. You know, wouldn't you just love to get Brantley?
And we've
certainly been attached to him.
Yeah, no, I've heard those trades too. I mean, sure. What I wouldn't want to have that do is to take away our power to go out and get a big pitcher. And like you said, that may come through trades. But there's some good names out there still. I mean, maybe Patrick Corbin, AJ Happ. And there's bullpen arms: Zach Britton, Andrew Miller, Craig Kimbrell, who I hope we don't.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. Kimbrell ain't happening.
Yeah. Love him too. Blah, 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 blah.
let's bring back all the baby Braves.
Yes, exactly. Where's O'Flaherty? I don't know. What I think is going to happen, and maybe I don't want it, is I think Markakis comes back on a 2-year deal, and then we sign one of the big free agent, you know, our number two starter in the offseason, and one big bullpen arm.
So there's been a bit of, like, Madison Bumgarner makes sense going around today. What do you guys think about that?
The asking price will be too high.
I don't know. There's a FanGraphs article today that actually said they won't get that much for him. I mean, he's not been the same pitcher since the 2017 shoulder injury.
Yeah.
You know? I wouldn't hate it. You know, I think he's $12 million next year. You're giving up one pitching prospect probably, and then maybe sort of a lower tier guy. I mean, the rotation would be better, but I would give up half the farm for Kluber.
Yes.
You know, I would be all about that. I mean, the Mets are being insane and think they're competing next year. They're not getting rid of anybody, but my God, let's get Kluber.
You want Bauer?
You know, I haven't looked at his numbers as much.
Not as good. A little bit older.
Yeah. But yeah,
still, I mean, still good.
I mean, all the talk of the number one issue that the Braves need to solve in the offseason is the offense, and which we went ahead and did. I still think the number one thing they need to solve is the front of the rotation.
Agreed.
You need to lights out pitchers in the postseason to win postseason series.
Right.
You know, and we have, I mean, Tukey is great. Soroka is great. Allard, Wright, all these guys are coming up. You know, maybe Gausman is solid. But you don't have a number two starter, not for next year. Not that's going to win us postseason series.
Right. And we're back to now Folty is the de facto ace. And look, he's, you know, better than Teheran is.
What?
It's true. Okay. No, I looked at some numbers.
If you say so.
But again, you know, we don't have a true number one. Now, Folty has pitched like it at times, for sure. He wasn't that guy in the postseason. Don't think anybody can argue with that. If this team gets a real frontline starter, and with Donaldson and pick up, you know, a couple of bullpen pieces, even if Markakis is the answer in right field, this team will be really, really hard to deal with next year.
Yeah, it's not Bumgarner, though.
I don't think it is either.
I don't think it is either, but it would still be an improvement over, you know, not doing anything.
Yeah.
Right.
We have to
I think the pitching, I mean, I think it goes without saying that they're not, I do not think they're going to go out and sign a big free agent pitcher. I think that it's going to come through trade. I think that that's pretty much guaranteed. I think that they've got too much capital with, and especially as he's made all these moves to sort of continue to shield as much as he can that capital. I think that the next big hit will be in the amount of several of our big prospects, and it'll be something hopefully glorious that we will be forced to do another show about.
Yeah, I mean, something else massive is going to happen. I mean, he's clearly like, we're going to win this year.
This is our window.
Yeah.
And I think that honestly, if you could shore up the pitching on both fronts, you get a frontline starting pitcher, Steve, like you were talking about, and then bring in two or three really good relievers. The Braves, not only for the National League East, they're right there for the entire National League. I mean, I mean, obviously the Dodgers, but you got to figure the Dodgers, they're going to start to shake something up over there, having lost two World Series in a row. And they're getting older, it seems like. So, I mean, who other than the Braves
maybe
is going to be right there? Yeah, but I mean, they weren't all that, you know. I mean, they continue to sort of disappoint after their World Series. It's sort of up and down with them. You know, they always have to turn on the Jets at the end to even make the postseason. So,
yeah, Brewers.
Yeah, the Brewers. I think the Brewers. You're right. I hadn't thought about the Brewers. The Brewers
and the Nationals. Good. I mean, we shouldn't really count out the Nationals.
Yes, <Yeah. laughs> and I, you know, Steve, I disagree. I think the Mets. Honestly, if I were the Mets, I'd do the same thing. That pitching is too good. If they can get an offense,
they're going to get Machado
with any semblance of an offense for that team. That pitching is just ridiculous.
Doesn't Machado just feel like a Met to you? Isn't he just a Met?
I mean, Harper feels like a Met to me too.
No, Harper feels like a Yankee to me.
Yeah, he's going to be a Yankee. God, there's a lot of Mets talk about Cano going on today, which is just insane. And please let them do it, because it'll be a waste of money.
Well, yes. And that's a Metsy move. We got the Marlins-y moves.
That feels like the Mets.
Yes. Cano and Machado.
I think Harper might end up with the Dodgers. Just to hate him more.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are going to figure out a way, and they're going to get him.
Can you imagine that outfield?
Could you imagine Stanton, Harper, Judge? Just imagine that.
Right.
I mean, that's insane. Oh, my God. 2-3-4. That's your 2-3-4.
Yeah, like 120 homers or something.
Wow.
But isn't it nice? I mean, Curtis, sort of pick up on what you were saying a minute ago, to go into this season expecting to win with like confidence and it's so great right now. Like, let's start the season tomorrow.
Oh my God, totally.
Not wait. And
well,
and,
it's funny. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just gonna say, you know, and let's get, you know. We had so many great awards this year with Acuna and Snicker and Markakis winning a Gold Glove and the Silver Slugger and Ender and Freddie. Like, let's get. We haven't even mentioned Acuna. Let's get Acuna to be the MVP.
Yeah,
you know, and let's get another Manager of the Year for Snicker, and let's win some hardware in the World Series. Like, it is realistic. It is now.
Yeah, no, it's on. Like, yeah. The rebuild's over. We're here.
Yeah.
This is happening. We have so slogged through exciting. It, and we've come out the other side. My son asked me about the McCann signing. He's like, well, wait, do you think they're doing that and hopes he turns it around and then they'll trade him at the deadline to get some? I was like, no. The Braves aren't doing that anymore. Mm-mm. That's like rebuild stuff. That's not the game they're playing.
We're not anymore. Playing a future game.
Yeah.
And just think we had Frank Wren and Freddie Gonzalez. Like, that's what we had to go through, and just like all of that. And then the Copy era, although thank you, Copy, may you rest in peace. He did good things for us, but like, we deserve this. ABT deserves a winning team.
Now I'm ready to get back to being disappointed when they lose in the postseason.
Oh, so we really have arrived.
We've come full circle.
All right, guys, that is the show. So remember, everyone, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. And you can always find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comment section. We will be back the next time there's a big move, hopefully sometime in December. And that's it. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.